This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hey, Steve here. None of the scenarios on this show are based on actual events. Believe it or not, they're completely made up. Enjoy!
Hello!
Hi.
I'm Griffin.
And I'm Steve the Dog.
No last name.
No. Well, you didn't have a last name.
That's true, but I also didn't have a nickname. Usually you well, would say Steve problem. The Dog Cook.
Usually I would say something else entirely.
Unless, is that the full phrase is, and I'm Steve the Dog?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. And this is Killed to Death.
The improvised true crime podcast. Where the names don't matter.
Oh.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I forgot that you say something after that. I was like, someone's got to jump in here.
Before your sentence was even done, you're like, oh, crap, who's going to talk after me? It better be me.
I got to fill the silence. There's only me on this call. And thank God I did. Did you have something that you wanted to say? I know maybe you did Tim Hortons walk and you thought of something. I don't want to step on it. Do you want me to set it up again?
No, it's all good. Okay. That can be it for this episode, Steve.
Okay, write it down. Save it for next time. Simmer on it. Okay, we're shouting out all our college listeners with this one. It's exam season. Maybe you're listening to us and you're a little stressed. You get trying to get stuff done, getting your last minute assignments and stuff. But we've been through it. We know how this goes. And we have tips to get you through one of the toughest times of the year.
My biggest tip, something that helped me in university, was making use of enjoying the quad. Make sure to appreciate the quad. And by that, I mean the four-wheeler, the ATV.
I would rip around on every university. And you can rent it.
You can rent it during exam season, especially. You're going to have to book ahead.
People are always renting it to get to exams when they're late.
Well, and it's got a comfy seat. You can kind of write on the dash.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of rubbing it in when the people who used to rent it and then would just kind of park it there and sit. They like read in it.
It's like, or I'm like trying to, just rev the whole thing. Exam. It's so frustrating.
Sit outside the exam room and rev it.
I'll just absolutely tear it up outside. I'm ripping around. I'm going mudding.
And this is in that square area of grass that is in the middle of the campus?
Yeah, that most universities have where people play frisbee. Yeah, right. I'm driving through. I'm snatching the frisbee out of the air and I'm driving off.
Sounds like quad goals to me.
I guess would be my quad goal is renting it.
And snatching the frisbee and driving away. It's all part of the plan.
Steve, what's your tip?
My tip.
You seem really relaxed this exam season.
Yes, and that's because location, location, location.
Practice. Oh.
Close.
Three locations.
No, it's three locations, which is the three places that are the best for exams are your locations, your locations, your locations. No, those are the three things you need to think about. Where is my exam? That's all you need to know. And so you should be studying in the place. You should be there in advance. You should be spending time there weeks in advance. Get to know the place.
There is scientific studies that when you're trying to memorize for something, replicating the settings as best you can for that environment does help.
Write the answers on the walls, and then you're in that place for when the actual thing happens.
Yeah,
the answers
are
already there. Put it on the bottom of a desk. You don't know which desk you're going to sit on. Put it on the bottom of every desk. Put it in your shoe.
Okay, so the shoe kind of comes with you. Okay, that's not so much a location
tip. Don't change your shoes either. It's a little bonus tip for you.
Yeah, I'll do a very, very similar thing in that I'll try and hang out with the, what are they called? The judicator?
Yep.
Who's the proctor? Guy who walks around? Yeah, proctor. I'll try and hang out with the specific proctor who I'm going to have weeks in advance. Just to kind of get into that mindset, know their vibe, know how frequently they pace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't want to be thrown off, but if someone's got like loud breathing, if someone screams the whole time, you want to know what their thing is.
And depending on their pace, it's kind of like a video game where you have to match where the guards walk and track their trajectory, you know? If the proctor's walking and you know their route and their pace, then you can properly know
get out
to
of that exam hall without being seen.
Yeah, you can sneak up behind and kill them. If you know their pace.
Yeah, very Assassin's Creed. And then you can somersault out the window onto your quad and...
I would love if the new Assassin's Creed was just Assassin's Creed, like, Harvard. He's just on campus.
Yeah.
Killing.
I would invent
around.
Facebook.
What?
I would invent Facebook.
In the game?
Yeah.
Great. You have to assassinate Mark Zuckerberg before he can invent Facebook. That's the mission.
Whose tip is it? Are we done? Or do we have one more each? Oh, okay. In that case, do you want to solve a murder?
Yes. It's one of my favorite things.
The victim. Brooke Gulf, employee of a retirement home. Today's guest, Beverly Grumbles, resident of the nursing home. Beverly, hello.
Hello.
Hello, ma'am. Welcome.
Oh, you don't have to call me ma'am. That's my mother's name.
Your mother's name was Ma'am?
Ma'am Grumbles?
Yes, well, everybody called her Ma'am.
Okay, sorry, Beverly. Do you like Beverly? Do you like Bev?
No.
Oh, okay.
Beverly's fine, thank you. And thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Are you calling in from the retirement home?
Yes, this is my room. That's my lounger back there. I lounge there.
Yeah, it's next to the window. Do you get some sun?
Yes, I love looking at the squirrels in the afternoon.
What's different about them then?
They're nuts.
Like in terms of they're acting crazy, or they have the nuts, or
no, they're eating nuts.
Testicles? Oh, okay.
They're eating each other's testicles. It's crazy.
That is crazy.
That is a sight. That is a notable sight.
And it's my favorite thing.
Is this kind of a mating ritual, or is this aggressive?
Oh, it's hard to tell with these guys, but it looks like both.
That's nice you have a view onto nature.
Oh, yes. It's very important to me.
Where is this retirement home? Mm. Go on. Sorry.
The retirement home, it's... I'm in a small town.
Do you know where you are?
Yes, it's in a small town named Starland.
Starland?
Okay.
Sounds nice.
Beautiful, especially in this time of year.
Nut season.
Nut season. I was about to say that.
And where do you look on to? Is this like the quad of the nursing home? Speaking of quads, or is this out and into like a woods?
Yes, it's, well, we call it the middle. I guess you could call it a quad, but it's the middle. It's like a garden, and there's lots of trees and benches and a little pool.
Oh, very nice.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you got all the amenities.
Oh, yes, we're very well kept.
What else does your room have? Do you get, like, a TV?
I don't believe in TVs.
Like, you don't believe they exist?
Oh, so you don't know what that little box is?
Well, I just use my laptop, and they say there's better options, but I don't believe them.
Oh, so you're just streaming on your computer, and you watch all your shows that way?
Oh, yeah.
And then what about this facility itself? Like, are there lots of activities and events that you can go to?
Yes, there are many events. One every night, and
every night,
lots of games and planned activities during the afternoon. It's kind of like
eating
summer
nuts.
Camp. You can eat as many nuts as you want. They have tons and tons available.
So, what are your favorites?
Oh, walnut, pistachio. Just to name a few.
And
great question,
favorite,
Steve.
What are your favorite activities?
Oh, my. Oh, of course.
I don't care about as much.
Well, if you really want to know, it's
gotta ask the boring questions as well as the hard-hitting ones.
Of course, of course. I understand. I do a bit of detective work myself, actually, so I understand how this goes.
Is that an event? Is that one of the things they host?
Or is this like freelance for the Starland Police Department?
It's just me. I'm very nosy. And I tend to snoop around and get down to the nitty-gritty of the retirement home.
Oh, what's the goss right now?
Ooh.
Well, speaking of events... Dave is the event planner here. He was voted by the committee to be the event planner.
Oh, so he's like a resident, but you can run to be in charge of the events.
Yes. And him and Alice were caught doing it in the supply room.
What, like porking?
They were porking? I don't really know what that means, but they were definitely fucking in the supply room. And I'll tell you, at their age, that's not easy to do, but they knew how to use a broom.
Okay, so it was Dave on one side of the room, Alice on the opposite side of the room, and they're just kind of poking each other with the broom in various spots?
You could say that. You could also say that he was using his penis inside of her over and over again.
And where did the broom come in? Yeah.
And she was using the broom.
Oh, okay. Well, that is hot gossip. Who
yes.
caught them? Was it you nosing around? Sorry.
Yes, I'm very nosy.
And you were like, I wonder what's going on in the supply closet.
Is your sleuthing just poking around, like opening doors, going places that are normally private?
I'll go into anybody's room if they're at one of these activities for the afternoon, and you'd be surprised how much you can find in a medicine cabinet.
I have to imagine you're fairly unpopular.
Oh, I have some friends.
Who do you like to hang out with?
Edith is my best friend, although she doesn't talk much. But she sees a lot, so she's actually very handy to know in the retirement home. She sees everything, and you can't get away with much with Edith in the room.
Well, thank God she doesn't talk much, or all your secrets would be out there.
Yep, that's probably why she's my best friend. Otherwise, she would tell everybody that I'm snooping, because she watches the door while I snoop a lot of the times.
You two are like a little pair.
Yeah, I wheel her around and she sits outside, and if she sees someone coming, she says, "Excuse me, can you help me with my chair?" And that's when I know I gotta hightail.
So her move is to call the person over to the room.
Yeah.
And then what, they push her away from the room and then you can escape?
Well, she'll usually ask them to take her, you know, to a different section of the retirement home. Sometimes she'll say, "Can you take me to the middle?" And they'll take her to the middle and then I can escape.
You're a crafty pair.
We are.
What's something unusual to find in an older person's medicine cabinet? What would be like, because I assume it's stocked full of all kinds of meds.
For the most part, yes. Sometimes love letters from their past.
Medicine cabinet.
It's a pretty secretive spot. It's kind of, we don't have safety deposit boxes, so people tend to use that as like a cover up.
So you're not a bank.
You know, sometimes people need to keep their jewels in a safe space, but we don't have anything like that, so we just keep them in their medicine cabinets. And everybody thinks that they're being so original because anybody would go to the sock drawer first, which I often go to second. But the medicine cabinet is people think, oh, nobody's going to check in here.
But they're wrong. It's you.
It's me, and I don't know who else would go around snooping around, but I sure do.
What did you know about Brooke Golf?
Oh, Brookie, he was such a sweetie man. He really knew how to take care of a gal.
Oh, you're winking a lot.
What are you doing with that broom?
Just thinking about Brookie. What a man. He sure knew how to charm a crowd.
A crowd? Was he like performing or something? Like, what do you mean?
He was everything. He would perform at all of our events, and he would give all the residents massages. He was also a Reiki, I think I'm saying that right, energy
Are
healer.
Are you talking about like a landscaper kind of guy?
He was a landscaper too, now that you mention it. And yeah, he cleaned the pool. He would always clean up the middle. He would clean the pool. He would make us supper sometimes. He did everything.
He was kind of the only employee there.
He was the only employee except for the volunteers.
Do you like Reiki? Do you get into all that kind of stuff?
Oh, I don't know, but it's nice to have a man's hands hovering over you for an hour, that's for sure. So, whether it was the Reiki...
Just hoping they get a little bit tired, droop a little bit down.
Well, sometimes I would say, oh, come on now, Brookie. And he,
you can get closer than that.
I would say, let's just turn this into what we think it's going to be. And he would lay his hands on me after that.
Oh, it would work.
Oh, yeah. Brookie never said no.
And he was found dead.
Yes, he was found dead.
Was this by you during one of your snoops?
It was. I was snooping, and I couldn't believe my eyes. But, boy, what a time to be a detective, I'll tell you that.
Sure. Where was this? What had you thought you would see?
Now, these are the good questions.
I was walking into Charles Baldwin's room, and I thought I was just checking it out because I thought him and Mavis were sleeping together, and so I thought I was going to walk in on them sleeping together, but instead
a lot of these rumors.
Well, they wouldn't have noticed me. Neither of them would have had their hearing aids in.
He can still see you.
Depends what position you're in.
Crawling around on the floor? What are you?
Yeah, the sound isn't the problem unless you're going like, oh, cool.
Well, they would have heard the door opening. I don't go all the way in if there's people there. I just want to confirm, yep, okay, they're fucking, and then I move on.
Dust off your hands, a job well done.
I mean, what do you do, though, as someone who's now privy to all these things? Like, it sounds like, is the gossip circulating? Do you run, like, a blog or something?
No, it's just for my personal documents.
And what do those look like?
They're long. I've got multiple notebooks of everything that has been going on here in the retirement home.
Well, that is useful for this, yeah.
Well, I'm a detective, so it's my personal duty.
No, you're just a pervert. But sorry, you were walking into Charles Baldwin's room hoping to catch him sleeping with Mavis.
Yes, and they weren't there. It turns out they were in the supply closet at the time.
Everyone's in this busy supply closet. What is it about that place that has people so aroused?
That's where they keep the condoms.
And the broom, I guess.
And the broom. It's easier to keep it in there than take it all the way to your bedroom. I'll tell you that. But that's where I found dear Brookie.
In Charles's room. Does that seem bizarre?
Not really. He, you know, as I said, performed multiple services for everybody, so he could have been doing anything from magic tricks to no one? To Charles.
Charles wasn't there!
Just stuck around after it.
Or he also cleaned the bedrooms as well.
That would make
that
more
one
sense.
Tracks.
Well, the magic, he would do that a lot, so I don't know. But whatever
you
think.
What's the best trick? Do you ever do little personal magic shows for you?
Oh, yeah. But I don't know.
Winking again.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to hear about it.
What's your one magic trick that he did?
Well, he would pull down his pants, and instead of his butt, there would be underwear, which I thought was riveting.
Instead of his butt.
Yeah, you thought he wouldn't be wearing underwear, but ta-da.
But he was.
He was still wearing the underwear every time. I always asked him not to, but he still was wearing it every time.
Okay, it's a trick of sorts. Just not doing what you asked.
And then sometimes he would pull coins out from behind your ear, which I always found interesting because I never put those there.
So he was rich.
Oh, yeah. He was running the whole retirement home.
That's got to be good money in that.
Yeah, we pay a lot to be well kept.
So what's it like? What's going to be the state of things without him there? Just a place run by volunteers?
I mean, so far, you wouldn't know he was gone. But I think that's because he left everything so well prepared, and it's only been a week. So I guess we'll see what happens. The volunteers have been running the ship.
The first time someone needs a trick done.
I don't know. Are they going to keep their underwear on? I guess it'll be a whole other experience, and we'll have to find out.
Yeah, or it might be the exact same experience with every single person.
Well, could be. I'll let you know when I find out, though.
So, sorry, you walk into Charles's room. You're ready to see fucking, but you see a body.
Yeah.
Whereabouts in the room?
In the middle of the room. They're not terribly large rooms, you know, between the recliner and the bed, and we also have a desk, and he was kind of in the middle of all those.
And would you say also in the middle of the floor and the ceiling, or just normal, like, bed on the floor?
Yeah, probably between the floor and the ceiling as well.
Wow, dead middle.
Yeah, he was dead in the middle.
Was he on something, or was this, like, another unusual trick?
He was on one of those boxes where the magicians cut their assistants in half. Oh,
so he maybe was there to do magic.
Well, I'm not sure. He never used it before.
He wasn't sawed in half, was he?
Oh, goodness, no. He was stabbed in the butt.
He was stabbed in the butt?
Mm-hmm.
Now, were his pants on at this point?
His pants were on, unfortunately.
Oh, yes. So you couldn't tell what was in between?
No, I'll never know.
Was the weapon still in ass, or could you just see the wounds?
I could just see that he had been stabbed in the butt a couple of times, but no weapon in the room. And trust me, I snooped for hours before I went to go find someone to tell them.
What did you find?
Yeah, what did you find in the room?
It was just the way Charles's room usually is, and I've been in that room many times, so I can tell you his medicine cabinet had the usual meds, but also, you know, a couple of his bow ties and family pictures. His knitting materials were by his recliner, and his porno magazines were under the basket where his knitting materials are. It was a regular Charles room.
And when we're talking stabbed in the ass, how big
we are?
When we're talking stabbed in the ass, how big are the wounds?
Not too big, just very bloody.
Oh, bunch of little pokes.
Yeah, it could have been a knife, I suppose, based on my understanding of knives. But
and there were several. Like it wasn't
several.
Just one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he's lying on top, then face down on top of this box.
Mm-hmm. My grandchildren called it planking.
You showed them?
Oh, he was
them?
Planking.
Yeah, why? I took photos and they were curious, so I showed them. I'm always honest with kids.
Yeah, they got to grow up sometime.
Yeah, that's I think that's a good mindset to have. Treat them like adults. Hey, do you want to see photos of the dead body I found?
Well, I didn't offer it to them. They asked me.
What did they say?
I was telling them that there was a murder in the retirement home, and I said, I took pictures if you want to see. So then they said, oh, can we see
the
pictures?
Okay, so that is an offer.
It's close. Well.
I just put it out there, and I let the kids decide for themselves.
Have you ever seen him do this saw-in-half trick? Is this one of his famous ones?
No, that's the funniest thing. I'd never seen him try this trick before. I wonder if he was maybe going to practice with Charles and then perform it for the group, but...
Did Charles usually help him out with tricks?
Oh, everybody takes their turn, you know. He tries to be pretty fair about giving people a chance to be the assistant, because everybody wants to do it. I'm sure you understand.
Winking.
Now, when is the last time, the best of your knowledge, anyone had seen him alive?
I had seen him that morning at breakfast, and based on what everybody else said, it was him going room to room cleaning after breakfast. So, and this wasn't long after breakfast, mind you, so he could have been anywhere.
Did you do some preliminary interviews? It sounds like you asked a bunch of people where they saw him.
Yeah, I walked from room to room and asked people, and you know, in a detective sort of way, where I walked in and I said, hey, did you kill him? Did you kill him?
Hot coffee to the face.
And generally speaking, most of them had an alibi, but some of them were being pretty skittish, if you ask me.
Yeah, kind of scared of you.
Yeah, it's like when you pin them down to the bed, they don't really know what to do physically, so I think that's pretty suspicious.
Yeah, it is true. When you pin someone down, they often won't know what to do physically.
Yes, and, you know, a lot of these people can't get up on a good day, so...
Pretty suspicious.
Pretty suspicious, if you ask me.
Well, I guess the only two people we know for sure who have an alibi would be Charles and Mavis, who were in the supply closet during this time.
Yes, and let me tell you, that was quite the conversation to get their alibi.
What do you mean?
Well,
just,
first
gave details.
First, I went up to them and I said, "Well, where were you?" And
whoa.
And then they told me, you know, after a bit of a coy little twirling their fingers in their hair and looking at each other and blushing a little bit.
All of them going, well.
You could tell they didn't want to tell me, but they also could tell I already knew. So they confessed after a little while, and I guess that's all I needed to hear.
How did you already know?
Oh, Edith had seen them giggling and holding hands the day before.
Okay, so you'd piece it all together.
Yes, Edith said, I bet they're doing it, so I went to go investigate.
Is Brooks old himself? Was he, I guess?
He was a gorgeous 56-year-old man.
Gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. The tightest buttocks you've ever seen in your life.
Completely concealed by horrible underwear.
Unfortunately.
What we're going to do is take a quick break. What we're going to do is take a quick break. And when we come back, hopefully we can help you figure out what happened to Brooke.
Oh, Brookie.
Bye.
Bye.
And we are back on Kill to Death. I'm still here with the dog. Oh, woo!
That was charming.
It's unexpected. I was kind of more expecting a traditional dog sound, to be honest, listeners.
I've decided to make that the bit.
Oh, is it the dog doesn't sound like a dog very much?
Well, that I can never quite do a dog impression. It's two episodes running. I did a pretty bad woof last time. So,
okay,
keep that going.
Wow, listeners, you got to check out next week's episode.
Next week's
see
episode.
How Steve
see how
doesn't
I...
quite nail a dog sound.
I butcher it. Listen, they can't all be winners.
And we are also still here with Beverly Grumbles. Beverly, we haven't actually talked about it, but you are an older woman.
Thank you, yes.
You're welcome. You are a resident of a nursing home in Starland. This is a small town. Canadian?
Yep.
Ontarian?
Yep.
Southern Ontario?
Getting warmer.
And you are getting warmer. South.
GTA?
No.
No.
I got away from the city long ago.
GSA?
The hell?
What's Greater the Stratford area?
Now, why do you want to know so badly exactly where I am? Are you looking for
who's the pervert
some...
now, Griffin?
I'm looking for a good broom.
Well, there's only one here, so don't get too greedy.
You, of course, are the resident Snoop. You love to creep around room to room while your best friend, Edith, sits in a chair just watching. She's the perfect accomplice because she doesn't talk much, so she's not likely to spill your secrets as you go into people's rooms when they're not there and look through their medicine cabinets, where presumably they keep their most valued possessions because you don't get safety deposit boxes and everyone thinks that the first stop you would look is the sock drawer. Turns out that's the second place you look. You find their stuff in the medicine cabinet as well, whether it be love letters or photos of their family that they've hidden in the medicine cabinet or their bow ties.
Ah, Charles.
This is what you were doing when you came across the body of Brooke Golf. Brooke was the one employee of the retirement home. Everyone else was a volunteer. But Brooke was the one who made the meals and did the magic shows. And the massages.
To name a few.
You had a special connection to him, but it sounds like a lot of people did too. It sounds like he was kind of beloved by the home as a whole.
Oh, yes. I didn't hog him to myself by any means. Everybody got a little taste of Brookie every now and then.
But you found him dead in the middle of Charles Baldwin's room. You were hoping to catch Charles and Mavis hitting it off, but it turns out they were in the supply closet. Instead, in the direct middle of the room, you saw Brooke laying on top of a magic box, one of the types where someone would get cut in half inside. So, for the listener, kind of just a box. He was laying on top of it, his butt stabbed multiple times over the pant. Nothing else about Charles's room seemed unusual. There was still the bow tie, still the family photos, still the meds, still the knitting supplies, still the porno magazines underneath the knitting supplies. You then launched your own investigation where you went room to room and yelled at everyone. Didn't find out much. It turns out the last time most people had seen Brooke was breakfast that morning. And to the best of everyone's knowledge, he was going to go clean some rooms. And it was shortly thereafter that you found him in Charles's room.
That's correct.
So nothing at all seemed unusual other than the magic box itself. Did you look inside the box?
Well, it was kind of open on one side so that the head could pop out, and that's
true. There is a hole
that was facing me, and from what I could tell, it was empty. Although, oof, maybe you're more professional at this than I am, but I didn't see anything inside.
You didn't see anything inside. Okay, I was going to say you're a snoop. You should have looked. Well, you could have also gone around to the other side and checked in through the 2 feet holes.
Yeah, I did, and I didn't see anything from there either. But I'm not strong enough to move Brookie off of it, so I couldn't really get in there. Otherwise, maybe I could have tried, but...
And in the supply closet, I guess. I don't know why I'm talking about the supply closet.
Oh, because Steven pointed out that you're a pervert.
Yeah, now, going back to the supply closet, you said that's where the condoms were?
Yes, we take protection very seriously.
How many of those bad boys you got?
That's basically the whole room is filled with boxes and boxes of condoms. By supply room, you could say condom and broom room.
Broom room. Beep, 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 beep. We're getting another call here. Do you mind if I click hello?
Oh, sure. The more the merrier.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello? Hello, sir.
Am I on?
Oh, Charles, I taught you how to use the Skype before.
There it is. Okay, we're on. Look at that. There it is.
Move back, Charles. We can only see your chin.
Sorry.
It's a strong chin.
Thank you.
It's nothing compared to Brookie's.
My father's chin. Sorry, did you have a problem? You had something in your throat or a cough or something?
No, I'm just aghast.
No, this gentleman, he did a noise.
Oh, I only did it because Beverly made a sound that sounded like that, and I thought I'd do it too.
Oh!
This is Griffin. He's a bit of a pervert.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, hello. I hear you're in a cool retirement home.
Pretty cool. I'm pretty happy with it. It's a Starland retirement home, and pretty good. Pretty good, I'd say. I'm happy overall. There's a lot of great activities, a lot of fun people there. I've recently fallen in love. So, I would say I'm
your hair a little.
Pretty happy here at Starland.
Wow, I didn't know that you were in love, Charles. Mavis didn't tell me.
Well, maybe it wasn't official. Maybe I'm speaking out of school. But I can't contain my excitement, and I'm just delighted with it all.
Well, I'll write that down in my records. Hold on.
Oh, okay. Well, don't... all right. Just don't tell her that I already said that. But potentially, maybe she's trying to keep that to herself for now. I don't know.
No, but, suddenly the suave Charles is getting a little shy.
Yeah, what the hell? I thought you were suave.
Let
what
me tell you.
Me gave that indication.
The huge bow tie?
Yes, I'm wearing my Sunday best.
Charles goes around telling everybody that everybody told him growing up that he looks like a young Humphrey Bogart.
They used to say.
So when you were a kid, people said you looked like a kid Humphrey Bogart.
Yes. Specifically from the ages of 6 to 10.
Wow.
They said, you really look like what Humphrey Bogart looked like at ages 6 to 10.
And
your paths diverted.
Yeah, and then I would say in my teen years, people started to say, you look nothing like Humphrey Bogart. But... c'est la vie. I'm in love now. I don't need... I'm actually going to rip up and scatter my porno magazines to the wind, I think.
What?
Wow.
Yes, leave them for the
you
squirrels.
You can still be in love and jerk off.
Don't eat them. To the
especially
wind,
at the Starland.
Especially at the Starland.
They do say it's in the pamphlet.
Is that
they
what
do
it's called? Like a cheap motel? It's called the Starland?
Excuse me. That's my home. Not a cheap motel, it's my home. It's called the Starland.
And we're very well kept.
And it is their policy that you can be in love and jerk off.
But you are choosing to scatter them to the wind.
I'm choosing to scatter them to the wind. I think it'd be a nice grand gesture. No
wow.
more. But of
the
course there's
will
caution tape on my door and I haven't been back in my room for a week.
My worry is that then you're going to get all these old people like quickly running out and like pushing over each other to try and get the scraps.
I suppose I could auction them off. Is that more,
oh, yeah.
is that more civil,
all
maybe?
All the little pieces?
Squirrel?
Hey, I've got a little boob. I think it's a boob.
I wouldn't rip them if I'm selling them. Let's be sensible about this. Let's be sensible.
You could give them to the squirrels if you'd like. They would really get a hoot out of that.
I think they would.
Charles
well,
also
as I
has
said, I haven't been
squirrels.
Able to get back in my room. Caution tape all over the door, and there's an officer standing there at all times. I know you tried speaking with them, Beverly.
Yes,
to
they're
weasel
not too,
your way in.
They're not too keen on me and Edith. They caught on pretty quick on our little duo.
Why? What did you attempt?
Well, Edith wheeled herself up to the officer, and she said, "Excuse me, can you help me find my grandson?" And the officer said, "Sorry, ma'am, that's not my job." But then Edith has this great trick where she can cry on demand. Talk about Starland. That's just a little joke for you guys.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And she, you know, cried and cried until he said, "Okay, I'll take you to your grandchild." So he wheeled him off, and I only got a few paces in the door before he came back and yelled at me.
Oh.
He yelled.
Yeah, he yelled at me. And so I pinned him to the bed.
Oh,
you pinned him to the bed?
Oh. I pinned him to the bed, and I said, "You don't talk to like that to me, mister." And he hasn't let me back in since.
Mm. People don't know what to do when they're pinned down.
Especially the youngins these days.
They panic.
No offense, Griffin.
So where are you staying in the meantime, Charles?
Mavis's room.
Oh, God. All
right.
They are my neighbors.
You like that kind of stuff, I thought.
They're my neighbors, and I can't get a wink of sleep these days. Usually,
I can get plenty of winks. Wink, 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 wink.
Usually, I would just cut a hole in the wall and call it a day, but this time, I can't get any sleep, and I'm exhausted.
Yeah, usually, you would use a broom to, like, pound on the wall to get them to be quiet, but...
Oh, we'd love that.
They're using the broom.
It's occupado, so yeah, I don't know what to do with these two kids.
Yeah, and good question. You normally cut a hole in the wall and call it a day?
I do cut a hole in the wall if my neighbors are getting it on pretty frequently. Then it's just kind of an investment.
It's only sensible.
Yes. If you don't believe in TV, that's the next best thing. A hole in the wall to peep on people screwing.
It's better than my computer any day. And young little Mavis over there, she wasn't taking any of the bachelors in the home for quite some time. It seems she was heartbroken about her husband passing away for too long. So, you know, I'm glad to see she's getting it on now, but nobody would go with her for a while. Yes, congratulations, Charles, but keep it down next time.
Okay, okay.
Use the supply closet like the rest of everyone there, apparently.
I wouldn't
Sometimes
want to be next to the supply closet.
Obviously, the preference is the supply closet.
Well, yeah, because then you can use protection.
They won't let us take the condoms from the supply closet.
They're attached with strings to, like, the wall.
Yeah. They're like hall passes in school. They're, like, all attached to, like, big rulers. So if you want to take it with you, you have to remember to bring it back. So it's just easier to do it there.
Sure.
Otherwise, everybody would just run crazy around the home.
And they do anyway. This place is a madhouse.
Especially now that old
Brookie
is gone.
Hey, that's your home!
Oh, yeah.
Charles is also very forgetful.
That's not true. I remember everything. From the moment that Brooke walked into my room... He said, "I'm going to show you a magic trick." And I said, "Can't this wait? I got a date." And I popped both sides of my bow tie out and it went sproing. And I went, "Come on." You didn't like that.
Wait, no. Who are you saying come on to? Come on, come on. Who are you saying that to?
I'm talking about Rook to hurry up because I was trying to get out of there. I had a date.
He wanted to get it on with Mavis.
Yes, she was waiting. And the supply closet, there's sometimes a line forms. So I needed to get there soon. And of course, Brooke was insistent. He said, "Let me show you this. This might save your life." And I was like, okay. And he proceeded to show me a trick. I'd never seen anything like it before. It was, I saw a man in half. Kind of trick, but there was no man. It was he himself. He lay in the box. The box had a bunch of holes in the bottom, and he pretended to poke himself with a knife through the bottom in the butt. And then ta-da, steps out of the box, nice, clean, butt's clean. I said, "Well, I saw you stabbed in the butt. What happened? How did this happen?" And he said, "Remember this. Remember this." And I said, "Are you done?"
Because he said it would save your life?
He said it would save my life someday.
So I guess, so. Yeah, I guess if you were ever about to get stabbed in the butt, now you know to get into that special magic box.
I think that's it. I think that's it. So, of course, I was horrified to hear from you that he was ultimately stabbed in the butt. But it's just so baffling to me. I said, "He has the box right there. Just get in the box. Use the proper knife and it's all a trick. It shouldn't have been real.
Yeah, but he was on top of the box, so do you think this was someone trying to replicate the trick on him?
Or it was a cruel trick. Someone he'd showed the trick to at the person, I guess, wanted to show him that he wasn't, that this wasn't as foolproof as he thought it was, I guess. I don't know.
But why did this happen in your room? Did you then leave and leave him in there?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I said, help yourself to a magazine, knit a bit, whatever you want to do. Those are the only things in my room.
I heard you have some family photos.
Hey, what? Who? And how did you find those?
Griffin, you snitch. I could ping you to the bed.
I wouldn't know what to do.
Exactly. Now, I don't know about you, Steve and Griffin, but my detective ears are pricking up at this new information we've just received from young Charles over here.
Why is that?
Well, he was stabbing himself in the butt. And my biggest question is, how did he get out of the box? How did he do that on his own? I guess you could say
he was still in the box when you left?
Yes, he was still in the box calling to me. Wait, the trick's not done.
You have to let me out of the box.
That's right. But I had to go. But
you said, sproing, I gotta go.
I didn't say sproing. My boy toy did a sproing when I tugged both sides of it.
Oh, bow tie. I think you said boy toy.
My boy.
Your boy toy did a sproing?
My boy toy did a sproing.
Now, Brookie asked us to stop calling him that. His boy, our boy toy.
Well, that boy had plenty of toys, plenty of little magic tricks and all sorts of instruments.
But what was he stabbing himself in the butt with when he showed you the trick? Because there was nothing left in the room.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I can use anything. That's part of the trick.
But what did he use when he showed you?
Well, I used one of my standard knitting needles. And there it was. It came back and it was soaked in blood. I was like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. He said, nope, see, I'm fine. You're totally fine. And then there he was.
Now,
totally
I don't
fine.
Know about you, Steve and Griffin, but my detective ears are perking up at that information.
Why is that?
Well, if you remember, there was stab holes in his butt when I found him.
Yeah.
And so I don't know about your I don't know about your detective ears, and you can chime in on this, Steve, if you feel the need to, but I think that he was stabbed in the butt with those knitting needles.
You think with his own knitting needle? My knitting
needle. Your thing. Okay, yeah.
Well, everything in the house or in the home belongs to Brookie at the end of the day.
Well, but, yes.
But Charles uses them, yes.
But they were, you're saying they weren't in the basket when you did your original snoop around?
They were in the basket.
Were they bloodied?
I didn't check. I just saw them in the bunch of yarn, and I said, well, that's normal, so I kept it moving. I don't know. Maybe this detective thing isn't cut out for a gal like me.
You were so excited about clues just moments ago.
I'm losing my confidence
pretty
quickly.
So fast.
So we're thinking he was still in the box. Someone else enters the room. He tries to show them the trick. Mm. Maybe someone gets so confused and enraged, they take him out of the box and try the trick again. They figure out it's the box.
Oh,
but it turns out when he's not in his...
If you were to try the trick without the box, you would
just
be stabbing
him in the
butt
with a knitting needle.
Oh, oh God.
But who would do such
that?
A thing?
Who would
well, everybody loved Brookie in the home. I mean, except for Dave, of course.
Well, that's only because Dave was an amateur magician. Always wanted to be a magician.
And he's the event planner, and he always wants to be the magician at his own events, but he...
It's true, but his tricks suck.
And we all tell him that.
What does he do?
He pulls down his pants, and there's never any underwear there.
What trick is that? It's just
I thought that's
butt.
What you wanted.
Well, not from Dave. Yuck.
There's just ass?
Yeah, so he essentially moons everyone at the retirement home and then gets booed off stage.
And then Brookie says, okay, thank you, Dave. And then he goes on with the show.
Now watch this. And he pulls down his pants and it's underwear. And everyone claps.
And then on the side, there stands Dave scowling.
And he always says,
mark
my words.
Why did my trick work like that?
Next time I run one of these events, mark my words, that'll be me up there.
That's what he would say.
And so now, there was a brief window of time, immediately after Charles left and before you discovered Brooks's body. Right in the middle there, Dave must have snuck into your room. Maybe he heard there was a new trick that Brooke was showing off. Dave needed to see it for himself.
It's true. He was telling everyone that he was going to come to their room and just show them a new trick, so...
And everyone went, no, God.
I guess when I pinned Dave to the bed, he didn't say much, and that was pretty suspicious.
Yeah, usually people are like, ah, what the fuck?
Yeah, but he didn't fight me too badly. Maybe he was out of guilt.
Yeah, was he just going, oh, I deserve this.
Yeah, he was saying, I deserve this, but I also like it.
Oh, okay.
Well, that confuses it a slight bit, but I think that... Ultimately, it probably was his guilt. I've just looked at, I'm looking at the board here pinned up for the weekly schedules, and this is odd. I've never seen this before in my life. It's magic night every night, hosted
by Dave.
Brookie
would never allow that.
Oh,
the
God.
Fuck?
He's finally got what he wanted.
We can't let him get away with this. I'll go pin him to the bed again.
And kill him?
Well, I'll snoop a lot. I think that's as far as I'll go in my detective work. I know some detectives kill people, but I don't know if I could do that.
And I'll start appraising these porno mags. I don't want to start the bidding too low.
Okay, so you've gone with the auction plan, not the rip-up plan.
Once you talked about the frenzy that the ripped-up shreds would cause, I say we go with a silent auction. We'll keep it very simple.
To get that off the ground, you're going to have to talk to the events guy.
Oh, God. Maybe we can squeeze it in between Magic Night and Magic Night.
And that wraps up another successful episode of Killed to Death. Sorry, did you want to say one final thing, Beverly?
Just that the squirrels will be disappointed they don't get to get their grubby little paws on those porn magazines.
I'll give them one.
Oh, that's very nice.
Ballsack Monthly. They can have that one.
Oh, they'll love it.
It's a new ballsack every month?
Yes.
They're same persons, but just page after page.
Yeah.
You can see over time how it ages.
Yes, it's also like a little flip book. And it kind of sways side to side.
Oh, and you can see how they kind of move around a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Huh! I want to thank Zach Aaron for our theme song, Mary Jane Schumer for our art. If you have a suggestion for a murder, that's killedtodeathpodcast@gmail.com. Or if you just want to have a gas online, that is killedtodeathpodcast on Instagram or K2Dpod on X. Steve?
And speaking of old, we do a podcast called Griffin and Steve Guess the Movie, which is a movie guessing game that Griffin and I have invented for each other, and it's fun. If you're an Apple Podcast listener, check it out on Sonar Plus and play along at home.
Old, one of the best beach movies.
Next to The Beach and Pacific Rim, maybe.
Yeah, the rim of the Pacific Ocean is all beach.
Yep.
Her,
M. Night Shyamalan's daughter is doing a movie, and speaking of that, just saw the trailer. Looks exactly like an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Is her name O. Shyamalan?
Hmm.
Kind of wait. Oh, his M. N. Shyamalan.
Oh, like alphabetical?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have always said this. This is, and I'm going to make this stance recorded on air. I think I've tweeted it before, too. N should come before M.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a travesty
it's
that it doesn't.
I mean, Q comes after O, for heaven's sakes. O should be very early on. because D and P seem to be building off the same one as well.
I and O should be the first ones you see.
Yeah, yeah. They also, there's a very clear Pokemon evolution style of V to W.
Yeah.
So we should be kind of adopting that in an MN situation into NM. You?
You boys are crazier than the squirrels in my tree.
Okay, fine then, Beverly. What do you want people to check out? If not the rearranging of the alphabet to how it should be.
I think people should check out live comedy. That's what my grandchildren do. And I go see them at every show they ever did.
Whoa,
I travel
cool.
all the way to Toronto and I watch them perform.
When's their next one?
They have one. It's at the Beer Beer Comedy Show at the SoCap Theater. And it's April... 27th. Yes, do you know my grandchildren?
Wait a second, is your grandson Dan Hirschfield?
It is. You know him? You know Danny?
You showed him a photo of a dead body?
He wanted to see it.
He wanted to see it.
And, keep your stick, buried in someone else.
Oh, no. Buried.
Plunged?
Thank you.
Bye!
Killed to Death is produced and recorded by Steve Cook and Griffin Toplitzky and is a proud part of the Sonar Network. Music by Zach Aaron. Art by Mary Jane Schumer. Special thanks to Mike Mongiardi, Katie Lohr, and Tom Shank. Please follow and like Killed to Death wherever you can so the boys know how to value their worth as human beings.
Has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.